Hello, friends. Here we are. This is Cosmic Fire Webinar Commentary number 31A, and we're in our compilation, the Paths of Higher Evolution compilation, page 147. We are now going to take up the archaic stanza for the Path of the Planetary Logoi. Needless to say, it will probably be almost uninterpretable. They seem to get more difficult as we go along, and DK has said there's practically nothing that he can say about this. And it's a rather long stanza. So he said little, only a very little, and let's see if there's anything that we can possibly gather from it. I'll read it, and then we will look at some of the thought associations which may come in relationship to it, and then we'll read it again. So this is the archaic stanza number 1278, and I think we should look, it's on page 1278, it's not number 1278, it's on page 1278 of Treatise on Cosmic Fire. It's from Archive 49, yes, and it is stanza... It doesn't say. It does not say. Here we have stanza CL. Well, maybe it will. Maybe I just didn't recognize the Roman numerals. Well, it just says stanza 6, path 6. Okay. So I'm used to such, used to such high numbers, you know. So this is, okay, I don't want to make the same mistake I always make. This is stanza 6. Okay, here we go. The major third carrieth within it the vibration of that which hath already been. The cosmic lord from out the greater seven, whose sacred name is hid, seeketh the center of his life from out the sacred seven. This is the mystery hid, the inner secret found in the heart of cosmic space within the groups divine. The sacred seven with the greater seven approach their primary, the one who standeth above. And in their cyclic outer sweep will someday touch. The two become the one and are lost in their primary. Seek ye the same on lesser scale within the inner round, and on the plane of density see the lesser primary manifest. The law holds good, the mystery dissolves in time. The major third in both the lesser and the greater, the cosmic lord with his dim reflection, solar, completes his cycle, meets his brother, becomes the son, contacts the mother, and is himself the father. All is one, and naught divides save in transition and through the agency of time. The major fifth within the eternal now carrieth with it the vibration of that which is. It marks the point of cosmic knowledge that extendeth far ahead into the lengthening present. The cosmic lord, whose sacred name holdeth for us the wisdom of the spheres, seeketh a form wherein to veil the essence, and through the progress of the eons to perfect the great triplicity. Hid is the mystery and veiled by that which is. Deep is the essence, and sheathed by that which moves. Profound the darkness, lost in the heart of being. Dense are the forms which hide the inner light. Gross is the sheath that acteth as a barrier, and crude the material veiling the latent life. The major fifth includes the minor third. The double major marks the point attained. When the major third is synchronized to the greater fifth, and the cosmic note apportioned to the cosmic Lord of Love, whose essence is the fire, the sacred name is heard. Let's see, the major fifth includes the minor third. The double major marks the point attained. When the major third is synchronized to the greater fifth, and the cosmic note apportioned to the Lord of Cosmic Love, whose essence is the fire, the sacred name is heard. The cosmic second approaches to the denser and the greater. He merges and he blends, and all is lost in dissonance adjusted. The spheres respond, the now becomes the past and blends within the time to be. The essence and the life, the point within the circle, and the eternal ring past not becomes as one, and all is peace for eons. Time ends, space disappears, naught is. Darkness reigns and silence on the waters. The central calm persists. The completed chord, the third, the fifth, and seventh within the eternal now carrieth with it the vibration of that which is to be. Cometh the day be with us upon the greater cosmic plane. Then life and love and power shew forth as one. The cosmic Lord, whose sacred name as yet is hid, e'en from the highest Chohan, holdeth within himself the source of cosmic action and the gain of cosmic love. The triple all enters from out of time and space into the center of Pralayic peace. All is, yet all is not. The wheels turn not. The fires burn not. The veils of color dissipate. The three retire within the point of peace. The triple ring pass not, acteth no longer as a barrier. Well, how would you like to do that one? Oh, my. And I see as well that when we get into the archaic stanza of the absolute sonship, well, it too is long and complex. So let us begin with this archaic stanza and see what thought suggestions can possibly come to us. Now, it's a very, you know, it's rather Pythagorean. We are speaking in musical terms. Yes, I think I'll go get my pitch pipe, as that might be of assistance to us. Well, first we have to realize the necessity to approach this with complete humility. He said so little can be known about this path. He has given us far more in the stanza, if we could interpret it, than he actually spoke about in his, well, they were not complete interpretations of the stanza, not by any means. They were just a few things about the path and how to approach it and what types of being approached it. Now, the major third, what is it? Carrieth with it the vibration of that which hath already been. And I would say, let's say that we have a fundamental note which we call C. That is the major third. That's the E. So, the note Mi is the major third if we start on the red note, which is C. Now, that which hath been, already been, that which hath already been is the previous solar system, whose note was F. So that's the fa note, that's the green note. And in any chord, major chord, Yum bum 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 bee. The major third represents the attuned personality. The major third represents the attuned personality. The minor third, the personality which is not yet attuned to soul and is therefore sad. So many sad songs begin with this da-dee-da-dee minor third. The great Elizabethan plaint, Green Sleeves, you know, alas, my love, you do me wrong, etc. Da-dee-dum. And so many of them really are in the minor mode and begin with that interval, or emphasize that interval. So the personality of our solar logos, or this is what this means, the system which emphasized the personality of our solar logos has already been the previous solar system. But the fact that it is, he says, the major third, later he talks about the minor third, but the fact that he says that it is major means that there's been some progress, you know. The major third indicates attunement. The cosmic, okay, so we've had a previous solar system, its node has been green, its node has been Fa, but represented in our present solar system and in our present cosmic cord, its note is the Mi, Do Re Mi. Do Re Mi, da di da di. That's the major third. Now, you know, the question might come, has it been sufficiently attuned in our present solar systems? The analogy on our personal level, have we attuned our personality so it's not the minor third, but the major third, which is attuned to Buddhi and to the soul energy and is responsive to the soul? In any case, DK seems to be saying this. The cosmic lord from out the greater seven, whose sacred name is hid, seeketh the center of his life from out the sacred seven. This is the mystery hid, the inner secret found in the heart of cosmic space within the group's divine. Oh, well. Only a few thoughts might be suggested. The cosmic lord from out the greater seven. Well, who is this? I might say, you know, that consulting page 293 of the Treatise on Cosmic Fire, we might be dealing with a cosmic logos who uses a solar logoi as his chakras. So, from one perspective, we have a cosmic logos in whom our solar logos plays the part of a heart center. Okay. Yes, we... Our logos is a heart center in a cosmic logos. And the sacred name of this cosmic logos is hid. Now, this is just one interpretation. The sacred name of this cosmic logos is hidden from us, certainly, as we don't even know the first letter or first syllable of Sanat Kumara right here on our planet, yet alone the solar logos, yet alone the cosmic logos. Remember, we're talking here about the path of the solar logoi. Seeketh the center of his life from out the sacred seven. Now, who are the sacred seven? Who are the sacred seven? And I just say, could they be? Be the solar logoi of the seven solar systems, of which ours is one, in which our solar logos plays the part of a heart center. Is that possible? Now, of course, we could lift this whole thing onto a higher turn of the spiral and talk about the one about whom naught may be said. But we'd have to say the one about whom naught may be said from out the greater seven. And we'd have to be speaking of six other ones about whom naught may be said. I mean, while it might be possible, it's so much of a stretch that I think it's so far beyond what we can fathom that it's unlikely that the Tibetan means this. It's enough, you know, when even the sacred name of our solar locus is hid, but the sacred name of the cosmic logos is hid, and he seeketh the center of his life from out the sacred seven. In other words, what is that fourth chakra? What's the very center? If the heart is the center, the sacred seven would be the seven solar logoi, you know, including Alpha Centauri and maybe Procyon and maybe, with Nicholas, he and I debate this, will it be Vega, will it be Fomalo, will they really be included? Maybe they will, maybe they will. I cannot say. Altair is certainly possible, it's quite close. Naturally Sol, naturally Sirius as well, Sirius A and Sirius B. So the great cosmic logos is seeking the center of his life, i.e. a heart center from out the sacred seven, and that's going to be I mean, this is one way of doing it. That could be our solar logos. This is the mystery hid, the inner secret of the heart of cosmic space within the group's divine. The inner secret found in the heart of cosmic space within the group's divine. Heart is the key. The group's divine do look like groups of solar logoi, i.e. constellational logoi, C-O-N-S-T-L, constellational logoi. Aha. Cosmic logoi, or C-N-S, C-N-L. All right. So, here we are. Constellation logoi. So, the inner secret found in the heart of cosmic space within the group's divine. So, the group's divine could be groups of solar logoi, i.e., constellational logoi. The groups, yes, and they, which are our chakras within the one about whom naught may be said. I don't think we can lift this onto the level of the one about whom naught may be said per se and look for him as one of seven, though he would be one of seven. Nor do I think for the moment, I can change it as I read along, that we should be dealing strictly on the solar systemic level and consider those solar logoi as the group's divine. There are seven cosmic lords, and the cosmic lord, I suppose, and he's a member of the greater seven, is looking for a means of expression. He's looking for his heart. And there would be on this path, I would say, on this path, there would be a stimulation of our solar logos by the cosmic logos. And thus, he would be guided. And probably the cosmic logos would guide those who tread this path towards becoming a solar logos. Well, you know, we're way beyond our depth here, but these are associated ideas. The major third carrieth within it the vibration of that which hath already been in. And in a way, that is true of the human being as well, the incarnation that is past, something about how we're attuning our personality note will tell us something about our incarnation's past. For the solar logos, that which has already been is four systems, but the only possibility of integrating the personality has been in the immediately previous system. So let's see if we are correct or too cosmic or what. The sacred seven with the greater seven approacheth their primary, the one who standeth above. Now I just happen to think this is the one about whom naught may be said, and in their cyclic outer sweep will someday touch. The two become the one and are lost in their primary. So, their primary. Okay, the sacred seven. Now I'm interpreting this quite on quite a high level. Okay, so the sacred seven, locally, are our seven solar systems, of which ours is one. With the greater seven, okay, the greater seven, I wonder if I should put that in quotations, greater seven can be thought of, that's a convenient one, as the seven major constellations in the one about whom naught may be said. The one about whom naught may be said is the primary. And the two, let's just say, the groups of seven solar systems merge, are really merged in the expression of a constellational logos. Constellational logos. And these seven constellational, CNSTLL, constellational logoi merge with the primary. So the two, in this case, two are the groups of suns merged in their respective constellational logoi, or in their respective constellational logos. And so the many suns merge in a constellational logos, and the two are one. I'll just say it that way. I may be interpreting this entirely too high, we'll see. Okay. The many suns merge in a in their respective constellational logos. Okay, and the two orders are thus one. And all that remains are constellational logoi. CNSTLS, constellational logoi. And these merge in their primary, the one about whom naught may be said. I think the one who standeth above is that. Now, of course, you know, there might be a way to interpret this on the level of the solar system and so forth. The sacred seven then would be the planetary logoi, the one who standeth above would be the solar logos. And we would have the heart center would be something else, lower than the planetary logos. Seek ye, well, okay, so now basically we have a great cosmic picture. And now he advises those who are on this path of the solar logoi, seek ye the same on lesser scale within the inner round, and on the plane of density see the lesser primary manifest. Well, is this inner round, a special place of learning, which is largely etheric? Because there's something about opportunity on the etheric levels rather than just on those levels which carry also the cosmic or systemic density. So what inner round? The inner round of Earth or some other inner rounds that are available in the solar system? If it has one. Or other inner rounds available within the solar system? Not sure. And on the plane of density, see the lesser primary manifest. Well, okay, what is going to be the lesser primary? Okay, what possibly could be the lesser primary? And it could be the monad of man. Well, because the word, the primary ray is considered to be the monadic ray. Primary means first. Monad is first. Soul is second. So monad is first and soul is second. The law holds good. The mystery dissolves in time. Why is time capitalized? Is this an editorial choice or is this time as absolute duration? So anyway, we've been presented with, we have here an analogy of three factors, two of them being absorbed into the primary. Well, if we have the monad here, possibly can it be absorbing the seven major chakras which come out of it, and all of the lesser constituents of those chakras may be drawn in, or do we have, there's different ways of looking at it. We have seven chakras in each vehicle representing seven principles, and all the principles expressing each through a vehicle are absorbed into the monad. Anyway, I think when we use a term like lesser primary, we can think of the human monad as opposed to some of these greater monads that are the final absorbers. We don't know about the stage of evolution of the one about whom not may be said. Is it in some kind of soul expression? Has it advanced that far? I think so, because we have two rays, one of which is the third and seems quite obvious and is involved in influencing lesser systems, and the other, which is the second, the cosmic Buddhi, and I think that is also involved in a more subtle way, so at least our one about whom not may be said has advanced to the level of soul, I think. But now whether it's monad on whatever ray, some theorists think it's the first ray, the position is strange. If it was the first ray, I suppose it could be given away by the, it could be given away by a position. Now, we find a funny position for it. Let's say our one about whom not may be said appears to be in the third position. If that is the case, if it had a first ray monad, I wonder if it wouldn't be a red triangle up here at the very top of the seven. This arrangement of seven is a little different from the arrangement of the chains, which exactly inverted, really, because in the arrangement of the chains, the two are above and the one is at the bottom. But I am of the opinion that we are living in a great third monadic system of the Pleiades, the one about whom naught may be said, or at least the Logos, working through the Pleiades mainly and through the many other chakras, has, I think, a third ray monadic nature, corresponding with this third triangle. I know some people say, well, the whole thing should be the one about whom naught may be said, everything we're looking at here. But if you really are careful about consulting page 293 of Cosmic Fire, you'll see that the unknown only goes up to a certain point. And it's the fifth. And beyond the fifth, we have to expect a sixth and a seventh. And indeed, we have them here. The sixth representing these seven big circles, and the seventh representing that type of being that is called here a cosmic para-Brahman, a cosmic para-Brahman. Not para-Brahman in its absolute sense, but relatively absolute compared to these beings. Okay, so the law holds good, so as above, so below, that's what we're told to do. Seek the heart and the center seek the heart and that of which the heart is a major expression. Well, I suppose the soul expresses majorly through the heart. I suppose it will depend on the ray. So what levels can we seek here in man? We have the monad, the soul, we have the chakric system, we have the principles. Out of those, we have to make an analogy to this higher analogy of suns. See, the higher analogy is of suns, cosmic logoi, and the one about whom. The lower analogy, I'm not sure I can really do it, but the last one is the monad. See, the monad of man is the last one. And the, we might say before that, seven sub-rays of the monad, possibly. And what goes, and then whatever goes to make those seven sub-rays, because basically we have seven centers which are gathered into the one about whom naught may be said. What will they be for the human being? Some kind of chakras will be the seven of the monad. Okay. The monad of man. Seven sub-rays of the monad or some kind of chakras to be gathered into the monad. Or the correspondence of the seven spirits before the throne. Seven spirits before the throne. We need a correspondence there. And then what goes to the making of those seven spirits? Seven constituents. So, seven constituents of some kind go to the making of the greater seven, which are to be absorbed by the monad. Maybe I don't know if the correspondences here are exact, but it's much more difficult to get the lower analogy. The major third in both the lesser and the greater, the major third in both the lesser and the greater, so the personality note in both the cosmic logos and his dim reflection as a solar logos. Wow, we're really on a high level here. the major third in both the lesser and the greater, the personality note of both the cosmic logos and his dimmer, because a solar logos, like a chakra in a human being, is a dim reflection of something greater out of which those seven come. The monad is that out of which the seven chakras come. The monad is that out of which the seven chakras come. If we were to turn to Treatise of Cosmic Fire, right around page 169, let's just see, and maybe a little earlier, might be 166. Could it be? Here it is. It is 166. The centers, therefore, when functioning properly, okay, the centers are formed entirely of streams of force pouring down from the ego who transmit it from the monad. Every center, every chakra, the lower ones are transmitted from the ego, but the monad has first reached the ego, affecting the transmission. And the higher centers, I think, are transmitted directly from the monad. So this is such an important statement on 166. And I'll copy this over here. Yes, right here. Okay. Treatise of Cosmic Fire, 166. And we'll make this smaller. And green and smaller. So, you know, his dim reflection solar, the cosmic lord. Now, of course, we could take the analogy and say, well, there's the solar logos and his dim reflection, the soul, or the monad, his dim reflection. But we're up here with the cosmic lord, and I'm assuming that to be a great being, with his dim reflection solar, which is merely a chakra in that great being, in that great being, the cosmic logos, completes his cycle, meets his brother, well, this is what everyone goes through, becomes a son, meets his brother in unity, becomes a son, contacts the mother, and is himself the father. This is the final synthesis in each system. A grouping, we might say. We do this. We are going to complete our cycle. We're going to meet our fellow souls. We are becoming the Son of God, a soul in incarnation. We contact the Mother in a new and redemptive way, and we are the Father because I and my Father are one. We identify as a monad. All is one, and naught divides, save in transition, which disunifies, and through the agency of time. But if we could collapse time, we could collapse time, which is not something appealing to the logic, to the ordinary logic, and see the same thing from all points of view and at all times simultaneously. Similarly, simultaneously, S-I-M-U-L-L, yes, I've got it, simultaneously. And see the same thing from all points of view simultaneously and at all times simultaneously. In other words, if every perspective in time were seen at the same time, then we would not have a divided condition wherein time works as the great divider. Okay, so the major third in both the lesser and greater, the cosmic Lord, with his dim reflection solar, completes his cycle. Well, is he telling us that somehow the cosmic Lord is the major third? Well, or the major third is like a personality. It's like a this is like the individual, the encapsulated unit, and the greater. The major third in both the lesser and the greater, the cosmic Lord, with his dim reflection solar, completes his cycle, meets his brother. In general, this is true of all personalities. Okay. Meets his brother and contacts in his himself the Father. Okay. This is true of all personalities, of all individuals, on whatever, of whatever scale. So basically, he's telling us that this is true of the cosmic Lord with his dim reflection solar, and he's telling us that it's true of man in both the lesser, and let's call it man, and the greater, cosmic beings, or the cosmic logos, or even the solar logos, or the planetary logos. The major third in both the lesser and the greater, whether it's the cosmic Lord and his dim reflection solar, completes his cycle, meets his brother, becomes a son. He functions as a soul, contacts the mother redemptively to lift the mother up, and is himself the father. I and my father are one. I and my mother are one. The three are one. The all members of the Trinity are one. Are one. So maybe he's not calling the cosmic logos the major third, but you know, you look at any being, and in one way, it could occupy a soul position, a personality position. It depends on what it is related to. So this cosmic Lord is related to the one about whom not may be said, and we simply have to call it a chakric position at the moment. These cosmic lords, seven major of them, are related to the one about whom not may be said, and they are chakras to this great being. We cannot call them the soul of the one about whom not may be said. That's a different thing. That is the great consciousness of the supercosmic Lord, the super-constellational Lord. So we'll keep these beings in their proper place. And every being of this conscious kind, he becomes a son, contacts the mother, he meets his brother and begins to merge with his brother. I and my brother are one. We are a unity. I am that, he says. He becomes a son consciously, contacts the mother, okay, and consciously so, contacts the mother and is himself the father, because he has merged with the Father in heaven, whichever heaven we're talking about. All is one and naught divides save in transition, which disunifies, you know. In other words, the integration achieved is broken up in the period of transition, and many things appear as if separate because they are not properly united in a period of transition, and through the agency of time based upon our small processing. Okay, time is, or the illusion of time is based upon our small processing capacity. You know, it's a bit like the computer of small processing capacity. Some of the rapid computers seems to do many things almost as if instantaneously. Yes, there is a sequence, but it just all seems to happen at once. And when you have a lowly creature like a man with this limited brain power and the sense of treating all things in sequence, then you have the domination of the agency of time based on limitation. So all sense of time is based upon limitation. Very real in the human case, but really any entity, any individual, of no matter how great a scope, is limited compared to the whole in which he finds his place. And even the whole is infinitely limited compared to the absolute. Now, we're switching gears here. You know, I realize maybe having a little bit of the musical background is helpful, and we don't all have it, but we will, because, you know, in the Pythagorean school, we had to be a something of a musician and a mathematician, or at least we had to know music and mathematics in order to get in. Now, what was the music of the time and what was the mathematics? It may have been relatively simple compared to what we are dealing with now in terms of music and mathematics. Now, the major fifth, if we start with C, so we start with C again. That's the word, no soul, that's a G. Mom. And we're not talking about the past solar system anymore, or the past personality, or the individual. Now we're talking about the soul nature itself. The major fifth, this is the, and it is, the vibration is considered to be 3/2. In other words, the note of the fifth, da 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 dee, that's the G. Da da dum dee, da 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 dum. And its vibrations are 1.5 times the C. So if we start with a C and then we go to a G, the vibration of that note is 1.5 times faster. The frequency is more cycles per second by 1.5 times than the note on which we started, which was the C. So this is the major fifth is related to the soul, and this present second major solar system is the soul system, at least for our solar logos, the soul system within within the eternal now carrieth with it the vibration of that which is. So the major fifth is not the past. The personality is based on the past, and the soul or consciousness is based on the present. So the personality as the major third is the indicator of the past, and the fifth is the indicator of the present moment. It is the indicator of where consciousness now stands. But within the eternal now, in other words, the eternal now is the basic, eternal now is the basic perception of the solar logos. So on his own high plane, as he looks at his sequential demonstrations, he can see from the perspective of the eternal now, or maybe once he's a very high initiate he can, but we assume that there's a part of him that can do this. And then this particular system, from the perspective of the eternal now, carries the vibration of that which is. The major fifth is the soul. So soul is consciousness, and consciousness has been developed to a certain point which now is. So all of us are, well, it just so happens that those of us who are students of the teaching now are attempting to sound this major fifth. Kind of interesting, isn't it, that the musical analogies would be used in connection with path number six. Okay, so it marks the point of cosmic knowledge that, okay, how do I do this? Maybe trying to, it marks the point of cosmic knowledge that extendeth far ahead into the lengthening present. Oh, that's so interesting, the expanding present, we might call it. Okay. It marks the point of cosmic knowledge that extendeth far ahead into the lengthening present. So always the present state of knowledge and of consciousness is indicated by the fifth. But, as we will see, aha, that's a good one, don't you think? By now you know what I'm doing here. As we will see, oh, let's make it, oh, no, that's not it. As we will see, there it is. As we will see, what will we see? while looking at the abbreviations, I forgot what we will see. Okay. It marks the point of cosmic knowledge that extendeth far into the lengthening present. Okay. Yes, as we will see, the third is included in the fifth. Otherwise, you do not really have a chord. When you're simply sounding the bass note and the fifth, you just have an interval. The bass note and the third is also an interval, but when you have three notes, the bass note, the third, and the fifth, you actually have a chord. A chord is a triangle, and the triangle is necessitated. It's a necessary relationship in all cosmic structure, at least as far as we know, within our local cosmos. Well, the fifth holds the potential for expanding the consciousness. Put it like this. The fifth, okay, no, that's not it. There we go. So, the fifth holds the potential for expanding knowledge and with it, consciousness into the future, and the future is here given as the lengthening, L-E-N, present. Okay. This is, you know, a little paradoxical, enigmatical. The major fifth within the eternal now, that is the synthetic perception of the solar logos, once he can perceive cosmically in the eternal now, carrieth with it the vibration of that which is. It marks the point of cosmic knowledge thus far achieved, that extendeth far ahead into the lengthening present. So the fifth has an ongoing utility as a bridge. The fifth has an ongoing utility as a bridge towards the primary, the monad, the spirit, etc. Now you might just ask, why, when we've talked about the fifth, the third, and all of that, we have not spoken in musical terms, but when you use major and minor in relation to such words as third and sixth, then you know you're in the musical realm. And the word perfect fifth is so often used in musical terms. You just know that that's where you are. If he had just said the fifth, that's different. The cosmic Lord, whose sacred name holdeth for us the wisdom of the spheres, seeketh a form wherein to veil the essence, and through the progress of the eons to perfect the great triplicity. Well, the cosmic Lord. Again, I'm inclined, I mean, you know, some people say, well, why jump so far? Why not just consider this to be the solar logos, who is, in a way, a cosmic Lord, as are all of the planetary logoi. They, too, are cosmic lords. The cosmic Lord, the cosmic logos, whose sacred name holdeth for us the wisdom of the spheres, seeketh a form wherein to veil the essence. His essence, and through the progress of the eons, and this could be the solar systemic incarnations, to perfect the great triplicity. So, you know, from the solar systemic point of view, the great triplicity could be the three aspects of divinity. Three aspects of divinity. And this is also possible for the cosmic logos. So the form wherein, you know, the solar logos would use a solar system, and the cosmic logos would use a congeries of seven solar systems. Congeries. Oh, that's a word, all right. I believe it's correctly spelled. Congeries of seven solar systems. So there's a great being who wants to express his essence in a form, and over the eons of development, his first, second, and third aspect are perfected, and this works out as the three persons of the Trinity. The great triplicity works out as the three aspects of the Trinity. The three persons of the Trinity. Nope. Okay, I think I'll want to have that. Three persons of the Logoic Trinity. Aha, there it is. Of the Trinity, of the Logoic Trinity. Of course, the Cosmic Logos will also have his higher three persons, which are greater than any of his constellations. So anyway, the Cosmic Lord, whose sacred name holdeth for us the wisdom of the spheres, we know not the name of the Solar Logos or of his encompassing Cosmic Logos. Seeketh a form. So in one case, it's the solar system for the solar logos, and in the other case, it's the seven solar systems, and a great triplicity is perfected there. Now, the great triplicity is going to be reflected in a chord. The great triplicity, okay, will be reflected in a chord. And to begin with, we have the fundamental note, the major or minor third, and also the major perfect fifth. There's no such things as a major or minor fifth. The fifth is the fifth, but if it's flat or sharp. It's not perfect, and it depends on what system of tuning you use. There are whole problems connected with harmony and how to bring all different keys into adjustment with each other so they do not sound cacophonous and unacceptably dissonant. That's called tempering. So it's such a, tempering is the art of compromise. You're compromising all kinds of tones so that at least they can get along without a jarring dissonance. And through the progress of the eons to perfect the great triplicity. So there may be a chordal analogy that is coming. Let us see. Maybe a chordal analogy which is coming re the perfecting of the great triplicity. Because when you look at, you know, you look at the three I've spoken of, the fundamental is the is correlated to the first aspect of divinity. The third to the third aspect of divinity, and the fifth to the second aspect of divinity. So let us see if this perfection is spoken of in musical terms. Hid is the mystery unveiled by that which is. Presumably, that which is the present solar system sounding the fifth. Deep is the essence and sheathed by that which moves. That which moves is the world of becoming. Nope. World of becoming and of activity, which is occurring in the personality of the solar logos, or if we're dealing with the cosmic logos, in the personality of that cosmic logos. Profound the dark, well, all right, this is getting into mystical language. So that which is the present solar system, or the present, our solar system as being a heart center of the cosmic logos. So that which is the present solar system, the second major. Now, we don't know where we are in the development of a cosmic logos. We know in terms of our solar logos, we're in the second major and the fifth in a series. Deep is the essence, and by that we mean the monadic being, well, let's make it a capital, at the very center of this expression, and sheathed by that which moves. Well, the monad is thus sheathed, but so is the soul. So we don't know which he means in terms of essence. Usually with essence we're going to the inmost part, but it can also be used in a relative way, and the soul is sometimes called the quint essence, the fifth essence. Deep is the essence and sheathed by that which moves, the profound the darkness lost in the heart of being. So in this case, darkness and being are equivalent. So the true darkness, in this sense, is of spirit. Profound the darkness lost in the heart of being, dense are the forms which hide the inner light, gross is the sheath that acteth as a barrier, and crude the material veiling the latent life. So, in many phrases, we have where are we here? Oh, we're over. We have the description of the way in which consciousness and spirit are veiled by sheaths of density, of varying kinds of density. Well, okay, this will be the end of Cosmic Fire Webinar Commentary number 31A, Path of High Revolution Compilation, page 151. And beginning of Cosmic Fire Webinar Commentary B, Path of Higher Evolution Compilation, page 151.